Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the National Treasures Podcast. My name's Laura Lex.
And my name is Will Duggan. This is the third episode, so you are probably pretty au fait with what's going to happen. But just in case you've not listened before or you've forgotten what happened before, National Treasures is the podcast where we take you, the listener, on a day out.
Yeah, it's the kind of show your nan would love if she knew what podcasts were. No offence if you're a nan listening.
Yeah, hello nans. But now, so far, we've been to Leicester's Richard III Visitor Centre and Blenheim Palace.
Yes, but this week we're heading to Beeston Castle in Cheshire for another one of our unofficial audio tours.
Yes, we are. We climbed, and as you'll hear from the huffing and puffing, I do mean climbed, up to the dramatic ruins of this Iron Age fort, ready to take in breathtaking views and rich history.
Yeah, it was an amazing day. It was cold but clear, and the views from the top were stunning. You can see all the way from the Pennines right into the Welsh Mountains. It's incredible.
You can. And if you're extra involved, you're able to hear something incredible that caught Laura's eye on the horizon.
Shut up, Will. Yes, and you can also listen out for Will's ill-fated attempt to quit smoking. You'll notice he's incredibly easy to wind up on this episode.
I've got an addiction. Don't laugh at me. So sit back, relax, and join an incredibly grumpy me getting picked on by Laura at Beeston Castle.
Enjoy! Driving us, and we are on our way to Beeston Castle.
Yep.
As you can probably tell from the title of the episode.
Beeston Castle.
Unless we've called it something mysterious. We probably haven't.
We are both sort of going into Beeston Castle cold, because the previous place we've visited, one of us has some sort of attachment to. But this is just, it's going to be very exciting for us.
I feel like I'm going to like this one.
Tell me why.
I really like... I like all of that, like, Machiavellian dukes and barons and kings shouting at each other.
Right.
It makes me feel better. You know when people are like, what's the world coming to? Oh, everybody's mad at each other. I'm like, oh, people used to literally murder their brothers so they could have a house.
Yeah.
At least very few people still do that.
Yeah, I think it's Henry I. So William the Conqueror, William I.
Yeah.
His son, William II. Then his brother, Henry I, so William II, William the Conqueror's son, was killed out hunting, but was almost definitely killed by his brother, Henry I. And then Henry I married William II's widow.
Oh, no.
So it's mad, isn't it?
Like, stole his life. Oh, that's grotty. I think from the research I've done, there's also quite a lot for you to be excited about, because there's all, like, stuff stuck in the mud.
That's me in a nutshell. What's that? Is it a Maya? Oh, brilliant, I'm in.
No, I mean, like, they have really old stuff in the mud. Like, from the Iron Age.
Maybe.
It was a fort, I think.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
So we can find out about that when we get there.
Great.
Okay, we are on the dirt track lane, the little lane.
probably the worst road I've ever driven on in my life.
Oh, well, you didn't grow up in rural Somerset then, did you, Will?
No.
No.
Well, I won't apologise for that.
We did just go through a massive puddle that we had to do very slowly so we didn't ruin Will's car.
You're not supposed to do that, are you?
What, just drive into a puddle?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No, but I did. Screw it.
Woohoo, we're through. So you can, from the distance, we could see the ruins on the hill. They do look impressive. You can see why they built here. And now driving up, there's a couple of, like, those old timber-framed black and white houses, and then you can see beginnings of walls just poking their little heads out of the trees as we go up. We are imminent.
Yeah, sorry, I was quite quiet then because I was just thinking, it's not very accessible, is it? But that's good for a castle.
I'd say that that's the primary objective.
This
for
wasn't
a castle
built.
Is
this
to be.
Wasn't built with me in mind.
No, it wasn't. What kind of a car are we in? A Honda
Civic.
A Honda Civic.
We're talking 2.2.
Oh, hang on a minute. I can see. Right. Okay. We have found the doors. The gate. Probably a gate. There's a lot of lovely dogs, Will. Oh. A lot of lovely dogs. It's a cold day. I've been reviewing, having a look online.
Sure.
And I'm worried because I need a wee already. And a lot of the reviews of this place focus on how bad the toilets are.
Great. What do they say about the toilets?
So we've got a 1-star. Visiting Beeston Castle yesterday, afraid the gents' toilet is a public disgrace.
Blimey.
And English Heritage need to clean up their act.
And their toilets, what a sound of it.
Yeah. This one's a 1-star. It's got a title, this one. It's just Dog Turd Everywhere.
Okay.
So possibly this castle is made of wattle and daub, and the daub is dog turd. This view review says, there was supposed to be a civil war camp. What there was 2 tents and a bonfire and a couple of middle-aged men playing with toy guns.
Right.
That is civil war reenactment, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, none of those problems are about the castle.
No. We've got a 2-star now.
Okay.
I accept that this is a ruins and not a full castle experience, mm-hmm. but there should be signage and information all around the site to let you know what you're looking at. Perhaps an artist's impression of how it once was. I imagine this is in the book that they're trying desperately to get you to buy so yeah. they can afford to do more stuff.
To clean the toilets.
Yeah. Directions are poor and the free map is a fiction. I think they give you a free map and it's just got Neverland on it.
You can really tell so much about people by the words they choose.
Yeah.
That's been written on a very soft chair with a bone china cup of tea.
Okay, some 5-star ones. Yeah, the 5-star ones, they're just nice, really.
Is that guy doing a wee?
His car.
It's his car.
It is his car, okay.
Should we go in?
I'm going to put that in our TripAdvisor review. Okay, well, we feel like since those TripAdvisor reviews were written, changes have been made.
Changes have been made. The toilets are, and I don't say this lightly, lovely.
Yes, really lovely. We've bought a guidebook. We're in. We're at the bottom of what looks like quite a forbidding hill.
I'm considering buying a crossbow.
I think you should. You can tax deduct that.
Can I?
Yeah, if we use it in the photo shoot.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Okay, we've taken the arrow castle bound. From a defence position, though, if you were trying to... You now can't see the castle at all. So
that's
presumably
true.
They can see you to fire down onto you, but you've got absolutely no clear shot up from here.
I found out something really interesting about castle defence at Windsor Castle a while ago. Do you know what murder holes are?
No.
So when you'd walk, like, into the gate, it's like the holes and apparently...
Oh, yeah, yeah!
They'd rain down rocks and stones and boiling oil and that kind of thing. But someone told me that's a lie. They were called merde holes.
Oh.
Because if you were holed up in a castle, why would you waste all your cooking oil? You'd throw rocks and shit.
Oh. Can you set fire to shit?
When you set fire to it, you'd basically cut someone with a rock and throw your poop at them. They get an infection and die.
Oh, gross.
There we go.
Is that where the word murder comes from?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Ooh, there's a turret up ahead. I would really love to be reading you facts from the guidebook, but I can't walk up a hill this steep and talk out loud.
I wonder if... Is this all the walk is?
Don't know.
because, again, those...
Hiya.
Hello. Those reviews were like, oh, it's a very steep walk. I mean, it's not really. It's uphill, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be at the castle, I imagine, in a few minutes, and we'll tell you some lovely facts about it. Hubris. Utter hubris.
It was steeper than we thought, wasn't it?
Pretty steep.
We've climbed, I don't know, maybe a third of the way up, and we're now at what I think is, if I can read this map, which I inevitably can't, the Outer Curtain Wall.
The Outer Curtain Wall.
It's defended by a masonry curtain.
Okay.
Very hard to draw. With 8 projecting towers, these defences look far more formidable from outside the castle than from within. This is because of the sloping ground on which the castle is built. Mm-hmm. We've read about that. The towers look taller from outside because the ground in front of the wall slopes away naturally. They're just now describing what a hill is.
A hill. Hello.
That is the concept of a hill. The number and location of the arrow slits in the towers add to the castle's menacing appearance. Because they did it like a pumpkin carving so that it looked like teeth holes.
It looks like Gary Busey from over there.
Do you want to hear all about the guy that built it?
Yes, please.
Should we climb up?
Yes.
We'll climb as far as I can walk and talk. So it was built by... Well, it wasn't built by him, was it?
No, commissioned by.
Well, so you know about the past. When it says, like, he built it...
Yeah.
Are we talking paid labour to build something like this?
Well, it's skilled labour, isn't it? Like, you wouldn't... Kind of like the pyramids.
Yeah.
They don't think was actually built by slaves anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's...
That's nice.
HR have had a field day with them. But it's skilled labour. You'd have to get people who were masons to build it, because it's a defensive wall. So they probably would have been paid, but not, you know, well.
Okay. And I think they started building it around 1220.
800 years ago to the day.
How long are we talking to build something like this?
10 years? 20 years?
Right.
It depends. I know it sounds stupid, but it depends on how fast they built it. But what I mean is...
Yeah, that was the question though, wasn't it? How fast did they build it?
If it was built for necessity, as in, oh, we need a castle, we're going to get invaded, they'd work.
I don't think it was. So, it was commissioned by Ranulf III, the 6th Earl of Chester.
Okay.
And he was one of the greatest magnates of early 13th
century
England.
No, yes? He was a magnate.
No, he was a magnate. And he needed a castle because meta things kept flying at him. So Ranulf was probably brought up in Cheshire.
Okay.
His nurse, Wymark, nice name, that's died out, was from a local family, and the county remained his power base throughout his career. Ranulf's military exploits were impressive. Oh, I feel like this is going to be bad. He took part
it's
in
crusades,
several
isn't
expeditions.
It?
Yeah, probably. Oh, against the Welsh.
Right.
And played a leading role in the defeat of Prince Louis of France at the Battle of Lincoln. Oh no, here we go. In 1218, he joined the Fifth Crusade, and a year later took part in the successful siege of Damietta in Egypt. Yeah. Ugh. Okay, so...
I think the Crusades are mad. Not only because of, like, they're mad, but imagine walking to Jerusalem.
Yeah. Just because the Pope told you to. I mean... Okay, so King John lost Normandy in 1204... Ranulf became a prominent figure in English politics.
And do you reckon he had an accent?
Probably French. Didn't they all speak French, the nobles?
Brought up in Cheshire, though. All right. I'm off to Jerusalem.
No, I think English didn't become the language of the court until King Henry VIII, I think, wasn't it? I think all nobles in this country spoke French.
After Hastings.
English was the peasant language.
You're a peasant.
Yeah. Happily a peasant.
But he'd have a Cheshire accent.
Well, he wouldn't. He'd have a French accent.
Ah, like me, bonjour. Je m'appelle Ranulf. And I know that's a Manchester accent before anyone pipes up in the comments.
You are from Manchester, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Not doing it. I'm going to be easy to wind up today because I'm making another ill-fated attempt to stop smoking.
What? You literally were just vaping?
That's not smoking.
Oh, OK. Right. As long as the cancer is wet, it doesn't count.
Yes.
As a result of his loyal support of King John and the young
Henry
III...
Is that
Henry
King III, John... Is in Richard of Lionheart, King John?
Maybe. Yeah, he was Prince John, wasn't he? Was he ever a king?
I think so, yeah.
Showed remarkable political dexterity in maintaining his position during the period of royal recovery.
After he lost Normandy.
Yeah, and
careless.
He'd supported, etc., etc. Oh, why are you talking about him dying? You haven't talked about him starting the castle yet.
So well, spoiler alert, Ranulf's dead.
Yeah, he died 26th of October 1232. His heart was buried... Oh, God, he was buried separate to his heart. His heart was buried at the Cistercian Abbey he had founded at Dulacre's. Dulacre?
Yeah, sure. Dulacre, yeah.
In Staffordshire.
We've done a lot of research for this, haven't we?
And his body was buried at St. Werburgh's Benedictine Abbey in Chester.
What I find fascinating, so we are now sort of on a field.
Yeah.
Maybe 200 metres away from what I imagine is the main castle building, but also about 200 metres away from that outer curtain.
Yes.
So would this... It's just their garden, basically.
Yes, well, it would have been lots of temporary wooden structures. Like, some castles are, like, have all the great hall and lots of bedrooms and are very much built to be lived in, whereas this one, I think it got taken by the king not long after he'd started building it, like, really not long after. And the king kind of made big improvements to the structure, but because it's so well naturally defended, they never really needed to pour too much money into that, and they never made it much of a living place either. But there are records that troops would be based here, probably in temporary, like big wooden forts and camping out on this bit.
You'd be brilliant on BBC Radio 4.
Well, I don't want to be on Radio 4, I'm on this podcast. Also, Radio 4 won't book me for stuff.
I've listened to you on Radio 4 on the Comedy Club.
Yeah, you've listened to me on Radio 4 Extra.
All right, sorry. Right, let's...
I think I might swear too much for Radio 4. So we're now...
Shoes are less clean now, Laura. You've trod on them.
On your nice shoes. The view is incredible, isn't it? So to our back is... You can just see the beginnings of the inner wall. And then if you turn around, you can see for miles. I think I read somewhere that you can see 8 different counties from the top of
That's impressive.
We've picked a good day to come to. It's very cold. It's only about 4 degrees. And blue sky with those, like, scuddy white clouds all over it.
Scuddy. That's why you're not on Radio 4.
It gets a bit misty over at the horizon.
There's like a fire in the distance.
Oh, yeah, someone's having a good bonfire.
It is lovely. Should we take a photo?
My phone won't do it very well.
I'll take a photo.
Just Google it and you'll see a better photo than we could take right now.
Beeston Castle. And then, do you know what? And then tweet it to us.
Yeah, and we'll share it.
National Treasures Pod.
Yeah.
No, at Treasures Pod.
Sure.
And then we'll tweet it and say that you've sent it in. If not, imagine the countryside.
Really nice.
Is that?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to head into the castle. Oh, we're actually here at the what I imagine would have been the drawbridge and the moat.
Okay, the inner ward.
The inner ward. Whoever put on TripAdvisor, no signs, liar.
What, there aren't any signs?
Sheer drop.
Yeah.
No jumping.
So we're at the sheer drop. So we're sort of at the cervix of the castle
now.
Oh my
God, it's not a vagina.
Why not? If like swords and stuff can be phallic symbols, I think a castle should be a sign of how strong your vagina is.
Got a little vape while you find the next detail.
Okay.
It is it would be incredibly defensive. There is, yeah, a sheer drop. Quite deep. I call it 30, 40 feet. Rocks.
Oh, I hate children running downhill.
Why?
Oh, God. Because I just think they're going to fall over.
Daddy, run down!
No, your dad's too clever to run down.
It's not.
Oh, God, dad's gone.
Gravity is going to take me over.
No, that was dad.
Just the sounds of enjoyment there. Soon to be replaced by this.
Childless bit of podcasters commenting on pure joy as it runs past. So we've been up the path leading up the crag. A great rock-cut ditch, yes. This is where the sheer drop sign comes into
Sheer drop, no jump in.
The inner ward was the heart of the medieval castle. It contained the most important residential accommodation and was where, as a last resort, the garrison could hold out against attackers.
Okay.
The rock-cut ditch is entirely man-made. I think the whole castle's man-made, babe.
No, it means the valley. That's not a natural valley.
Why would that be a natural valley? Naturally, what would make that occur?
Rain.
What, just in a circle?
Oh, uh-huh.
I don't think you know anything about rain.
Wet. In the 80s, acidic. In pop songs, purple.
You look, you can't see this, listeners, but he looks so pleased with himself. Right, the stone quarried from the ditch was used for the castle buildings. Clever.
Clever, waste not, want not.
Clever. But remains of the medieval access to the... Right, so there's a modern bridge that we're standing on. That's 1970s. Still pretty
brutalist
old.
Brutalist architecture.
Still 50 years ago.
God.
In the 13th century, the ditch was crossed by a bridge probably made of wood and supported in part by a pillar of rock left in place when the rest of the ditch was quarried.
Oh, can you imagine that? To get... So you've been in having a few meads down at the local taverna.
Mm-hmm.
You've maybe got your end away with a bar wench. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Uh-oh. La curfew at the castle. Bit drunk, gonna walk across essentially a wooden plank on a pole across what sheer drop.
The inner gatehouse is a better surviving version of the one in the outer ward. The similarity between the two is clear, and it is likely that the inner gatehouse was the first structure of the castle to be built as part of Ranulf's design. Again, I don't think he would have designed it.
I don't know, actually, because like every old castle you go to, you know, it's not pretty. You know, there's very little. You go to a palace or like the Louvre, it's pretty and architects come up with it. This is just, it needs to be thick and strong.
But surely it's done as a defensive idea.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not, he'd have gone, I want a wall here, a turret here, and someone would have gone, right, well, I don't think he put the bricks in. On that theme, did you know that Michelangelo did very little of the Sistine Chapel?
Yeah, of course he did. The bloke that actually gets his name on it very rarely did all of it, did he?
I mean, I know it's not good.
Like,
to
you're
say
getting your name on this podcast, but I do all the work.
I literally drove you here.
He's so cross. The lack of breakfast and cigarettes is really fun today for me.
I know it's not nice to say, but you are right. But being a white man is brilliant. I was thinking the other day, I'm looking at my career and where it is and where I want it to go. And then I had some nice meetings and, you know, some nice things happening. And I went, and I looked back and went, God, I really do, I don't work anywhere near as hard as I should. But I'm doing all right. Like, I just potter along. I've not tried anything since GCSE.
Will, just bend over this ditch here. I just want to see how your balance is when you get shoved in the back.
it's not as good as your career.
Well, I've worked really hard.
Yeah, I haven't.
So, there are two sets of gates. I'm really bored by this guidebook. It's not interesting.
I mean, tell you what.
Blah, 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 blah.
If you're interested in Beeston Castle, come and visit. If you're interested in us having a nice time at Beeston Castle, keep listening. I take it back. I don't know, 30 feet, I'll say that. Litter.
You'd survive that, maybe, with a broken back, couldn't you?
I think you could jump that. I'm not going to, but you certainly could.
Oh, I think you'd break your knees, wouldn't you?
I wonder, did it say in the guidebook if it was a moat?
No, I think it was just a ditch.
I jumped off the pier at Lyme Regis when I was a kid. It's all enclosed. So, and like, my parents, it was the 90s. They're like, yeah, off you go. Because pedos weren't a thing. Well, they were, but they were all hidden and getting away with it. But I was like, yeah, you can't go anywhere. So I ran off having a great time. My dad, about 10 minutes later, got to the end of the pier, shocked to find me not there. I don't know, I disappeared on him. And then he's looked down, a little crumpled boy on the beach. And I remember quite clearly
this is your moat.
Seeing people down on the beach having a great time, thinking, well, I want in. Whoom, went over, jarred. But I didn't even like, I landed on my feet. And I remember this pain shooting up my legs, crippled. And then the rest of the day, I was like, you're an idiot. I jarred my ankles. It made me walk around in agony. I had a crab sandwich. Should we go into the castle?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we're just in the main castle with an incredible view, which we've taken a panoramic photo of on my iPhone XR that we'll put onto the Twitter, at treasurespod. Not much to add because we're only 20, 30 metres away from where we were on the moat. But I'd like to tell you a lovely story of when Laura couldn't believe the size of somebody's sky dish. She went, look at the size of that sky dish in the distance. And it is massive, but it's also Jodrell Bank. So, yeah, we're here. There's loads of moulds around.
There are a lot of moulds up.
Another lie on TripAdvisor. Haven't seen a single turd.
No, I think they must have really cleaned up their act. A review that asked them to, they bloody listened.
There's the well.
Do you know what? I can't see from here. Oh, yeah, there's the well. Okay. It's one of the longest wells in the world. That's not true. But it is long.
Do you mean deep?
Long, deep, same thing.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why? Why does long have to... What? Why not?
If someone said to you...
Yeah?
I don't know. How deep will you be? How long will you be?
Yeah, but a well, you know it's going down.
Yeah, so it's deep.
So it's the length of the well down.
That's the depth.
Yeah, but it's still
height,
long.
Width.
If you've got a piece of string and you dangle it off a wall, it doesn't start being deep instead of long.
Oh, that is true, but... Well, I disagree.
Well, that is true, but I disagree. You're an idiot.
Right, we're going to look into a well.
Okay, so here's the well.
I thought it had some Viking runes on it. It's not. It's graffiti.
The exact depth of the well has long intrigued visitors to Beeston. It's continuing to today.
The length of the well has long deeped.
No, you got that wrong. You should have said deep intrigued.
Yeah, I know. I messed it up.
In 1794, it was reported that it was filled to within 90 yards of the top, but it was 160 yards deep. A long-standing tradition that King Richard II left treasure for safekeeping at Beeston has led to several attempts at exploration. The most determined effort took place in 1842 when it was cleared out to a depth of 111 metres and the current protective coping constructed. I don't understand that sentence.
I think that metal thing there.
That death stopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. This site was used in the, Bronze and Iron Age times as well.
Okay.
We found examples of that.
Yep.
I've got some questions about archaeology.
Okay. I will, before we go in, my specialist area is Stone Age, but I'll do my best.
Okay, so here's my first question. When we say Bronze Age and Iron Age, is that specific to England, or were civilizations across, Europe and everywhere developing those sorts of things at the same time?
Kind of. Certainly across Europe. So when we speak about the Stone Age, we do normally mean Europe and that kind of area, because climates are really similar on length, not on depth
height.
Or height, latitude and longitude. So Europe...
Depth and length, you can call them, if you like.
So Europe is really long, but it's not... So it's got a long longitude, it's not got a massive latitude. So the climate here...
It's France, like the opposite of a chode.
Yeah, it's the Peter string. It's the opposite of a chode. Europe, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is the opposite of a chode.
Yeah.
So if you plant a seed in a month, 6 months later, you'll get wheat. That is true. That's true in England, France, Germany, because it's the same climate.
Yeah.
Whereas Africa is quite a thin continent, very, very long.
climate changes massively. In Africa, you've got desert, you've got forest, you know. So that information isn't true.
So stones are very different in Africa.
No. It's to do with technology. Information passes
that
well.
That sigh was amazing. It was like an internal sigh.
It was an internal sigh. I did a pretty good... it's a really good book you should read called Guns, Germs and Steel.
I'm not going to. You tell me about it.
Well, it's that.
Okay.
Guns, Germs and Steel.
So the Stone Age and the Iron Age and stuff refers to now.
The technology of the time.
And does stone include, like, because I read that there were, like, flint tools discovered on this site.
Yep.
But there's no Flint Age. Is that the Stone Age?
No, because, the flint tools would be used to make the stone tools.
Gotcha.
The Levallois technique.
They are actually building a prehistoric roundhouse here on the site, and there's people working on it now. Do you want to go and have a look at it?
Yes, I do. Let's do that.
I love these kind of ferns.
They remind me of Jurassic Park, these kind of ferns.
They do. Were that sort of thing around there? You did archaeology. Were they alive in the...
Ferns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Ooh, that feels like...
There we go. We've just seen
like
a...
I'm getting into an Iron Age settlement.
A woven fence. This is the roundhouse.
Here we go. Right, OK. So there's lots of logs and stuff piled up here. And then they've done it. They've fenced it in. Look at that roof! That's good.
Get a photo of this, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, it smells amazing. Smell that.
Yeah, there's like a woven deer head.
That's cool. Beeston Roundhouse. Here we go. This is a reconstruction of a Bronze Age roundhouse from about 800 BC, based on the evidence of archaeological excavations at Beeston. Archaeologists working at Beeston Castle. Oh, there's a fire. I can smell a fire. So when they say they found archaeological excavations, what did they find? Just some holes in the ground in a circle?
No. They'd have found, like... charring in the soil that implies a fire.
Mm-hmm.
They would have found the foundations of the roundhouse. They would also have found the Bronze Age, we'd already domesticated the animals through animal husbandry, so they would have found boat. You could almost figure out to the exact year we started keeping pigs domestically in the UK. Because so stratigraphy is like, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, all the way back. There's a year that appears and suddenly the pig's dentures, the mandibles, have tooth decay and like cavities, which they never had before because their food was being given to them and it was sweeter.
Ah.
So it's that's it. That's when it... So, yeah.
That's the year.
So, yeah, it's evidence.
That's
so, like...
crazy.
Well, I was on an archaeological dig when I was about 20 in the Durrington Walls complex and we found evidence... At the time, people thought that Stone Age people were nomadic, but we found evidence of houses. Obviously, you can't find a house because it's all, you know, straw, but you go, this is a fire, this is a rubbish pit, this is a foundation, and that's what they would have found. I don't know
how... So it's like a combination of... If you found one of these things, you'd make no guess. But if you find this plus this plus this plus this, you can reasonably assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how we know this is how it was built.
I want to have a look in the soundhouse. Yeah. I can smell a fire. I think they did say at the gate that there might be a fire.
It's very muddy.
They wouldn't have had gates, would they? Would have.
They may have done. Keep people out.
And chickens in and stuff.
Yeah.
Could chickens fly back then?
No.
Have chickens ever been able to fly?
No.
Why have they got wings?
Because they're birds.
What do the wings do?
Balance.
Right.
I mean, I'm making this up.
Are you?
I'm guessing.
Hello, welcome to the roundhouse.
Hi.
Hello.
A bit smoky, we apologise for that.
That's
the fire's not burning as it quite should be.
So would the fire have been in the middle?
Yes, the hearths, hearths are central to all of them. This is quite a big roundhouse. They'd have been smaller originally, but... They all have centrals.
So how many people would have central heating? That's pretty good for this. What?
Idiot.
Well, how many people would live in a hut this size?
Well, there'd be sort of three generations, really.
Oh, crikey.
There'd be, you know, grandma and grandpa.
20 people. Yeah, and they were also metal workers. This is a bronze workers' workshop as well.
Okay.
So they were both living and working in here.
Would this fire have also been like the no.
No, you need a forge for that.
The forge would be a much higher temperature.
Yeah.
So probably away from the actual living space.
Okay, lovely. And we were on outside, so obviously we read the thing about archaeological evidence. You can prove there was because of the burning and the littering and all that kind of thing. How do we know that this is what they looked like, or is it a guess?
We don't. It's an educated guess.
Here, the preservation was very poor. We have the post holes, but nothing else, because these are out on the lower ruin of the outer ward there. It's a castle, and it's on the exposed hillside. So it wasn't great, but we know from other sites in Britain and in Europe, roughly, well, no, different bits from different sites, and it's just based on a reconstruction of those.
You see, you've got this bit from this site, this bit from this site.
I mean, there are places where, I can't remember where it is,
There's Must Farm in Cambridgeshire, which was a stilted settlement they built in the fens.
Okay.
And that burnt down very suddenly, and it falls into water, and of course water preserves wood. So there's particularly good remains from there, and you can see how the walls collapsed in.
Fascinating.
That's only one. There's other places definitely that it's built on. And people have been, when they're building this, they've been bringing in their research, what they've found out about different sites, and asking to apply it here. And as long as it's authentic, generally, the answer's been yes.
So you were pretty much right there, Will. It's like educated guessing on what it was mostly like. Have you ever heard that Eddie Izzard bit on archaeology?
I have not.
A series of small walls. So everybody was very short, no roofs. And over here, the King's Head Mansion.
Do you know what? I haven't heard that bit, but yeah.
Speed archaeology.
We used to... I did a professor at university, Dr. Colin Richards, I think his name was. And he used to, whenever he didn't know the answer to something, ritualistic. Why this? Ritualistic. Fascinating, though, that 20 people would live in there. So there were...
Yeah, but like they say three generations, but Grandpa was 39.
That's not true.
No?
The people only think that because of the infant mortality brings the average down loads.
Yeah, but people were starting to have babies once their period started,
Oh, sorry, I thought your point was Grandpa's dead at 39.
No, no.
You mean he's just young.
I mean, like, three generations are there, but it's not like there's a 90-year-old in the corner, is it?
No, but what I mean is there were seven people in that roundhouse then, and it was...
Yeah, but you're not in it a lot, are you? You're outdoors surviving.
They were bronze workers. Those skilled workers would live in
But the women wouldn't be, and the people, like,
they'd
making
be weaving.
The food. Yeah, but I reckon a lot of it would be outside.
Maybe. But, sure.
I feel like your indoor space would need to be, like, uncluttered, and you'd have bed space, and then you... I mean, I'm talking out my ass, I'm supposing here, but that would be my guess, that a lot of your life was outside.
Yeah.
And you were very, very grateful to go inside and get warm.
But not in the winter. Like, just throughout the fact that I bet it's freezing here in them.
Yeah. They should have invented, like, carbon dioxide and warmed it up in it.
Yeah. Well, that's if you want a hot planet.
Sorry about this.
Don't you worry.
You're all right.
You've given me a well-needed rest.
I was talking to somebody on the way up and I shouldn't have done. Oh, dear.
Have a nice
Thank
day.
You.
So, that was Beeston Castle. For what is essentially a ruin, I have to say, I really enjoyed myself. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, I had a really great time. Like, yeah, there's not loads there, but the view's great, the exercise was nice. Oh, I missed that at the moment. And it was nice to sort of do it with company because the guidebook was dull, but spicing it up by chatting it through was fun. And also, before we forget, a huge thanks to Andrew and Jackie, who you heard at the end there.
And I must say, it was nice on this podcast to hear a couple of expert voices who knew what was going on.
Yes, which brings us nicely onto our segment. Yes, that's obviously what we meant.
I mean, it wasn't all bad, because you asked me how long did it take to build Beeston Castle, and I said about 20 years. Well, done a bit of research, check this out. Work on Beeston Castle began in the 1220s, and then, according to the records, when the Crown took possession back in the 1240s, a large amount of money had been spent on the castle, which suggests to me that my 20-year-ish estimate was absolutely spot on. Well done, Will.
Yes, that's very cool, Will, but you do know that this is the part of the show where we correct the things we got wrong, not where you brag about being right and brilliant.
Okay, so you don't want to hear about the time when you were right and brilliant then? No, we'll just skip over that.
I mean, obviously I do.
Well, we wondered what sort of accent Ranulph would have had, and you said French, and you were spot on. Because the English nobility spoke French after the Norman conquest right up until the beginning of the early 15th century.
Okay, so it feels like we at least flirted with the facts. We had a dalliance.
Yeah, kind of. Because, I mean, there were some things we just didn't know. Like, we had no idea if the King John that Ranulph supported was Richard the Lionheart's brother, that King John. And, you know, yes. Just quite simply, yes. King John was the king after Richard the Lionheart until he died in 1199.
Ah. We also had no idea why Ranulph decided to be buried separate to his heart. Well, I think this is really interesting. So the practice became common in the Crusades. Noblemen were killed in, and I'm using air quotes here, heathen lands. But transporting their bodies back to Europe from the Middle East was obviously really difficult. Heat plus death equals stinky. So what they would do is strip the skeleton of flesh and bring it back along with the vital organs so they could be buried at home. Then it became sort of fashionable and extended amongst the nobility, who would then choose to have their hearts buried in places they favoured in life. So Ranulph was just pretty cool.
And finally, Laura, it's the biggie. The question that has plagued mankind for millennia. Could chickens fly historically?
Oh, no, I didn't do it. I was trying to do a drum roll.
A disappointing drum roll is fine, because the answer is no. They've always been bad at flying, and they haven't got better as humans have bred them to get meatier. They're not bothered about the flight, they want the flesh. Though, if you are a big fan...
That's a horrible phrase. They don't want the flight, they want the flesh. That is the worst thing you've ever said.
It's not the worst I've ever said. But I did look at some facts about chickens' flights. Do you want to hear them?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the longest recorded flight of a modern chicken was 13 seconds, and it flew for a little bit over 300 feet. Now, I know you're laughing at what is a modern chicken, Laura.
In my head, it's wearing a little leather jacket and sunglasses, like, I'm a cool modern chicken. Boop, boop, ba-doo.
It moisturises. A male chicken would happily share a dessert with another male chicken who it was not romantically involved in. It's a modern chicken.
I bloody love a modern chicken. I kind of think that, what did you say, 13 seconds? I'd call that flying. If you were in the air for 13 seconds, I'd be like, Will is flying. That's flying.
Laura, yes. Chickens cannot fly, and neither can I.
Okay, fine. Well, all right, so we weren't that great on the facts this week, and I'd love to say, tune in next week, where we'll be better with the facts, but we probably weren't when we recorded it, because we just say anything.
You're welcome! Thanks so much for listening, though, guys. We really appreciate it. And thanks for getting in touch. Loads of you have got in touch on the socials. You can find us at Treasures Pod. My favourite tweet we've got is from A Dance A Day 17, because it starts off so negative. I'll be honest, when I heard about this, I thought it was going to be dull and make me yearn for outside. But, and then the tone changes, I'm so glad I gave it a chance. It's so gentle, funny, interesting and calming. And I love your friendship. Thank you for making it. And sorry I ever doubted you. A Dance A Day, you're welcome. But if you ever doubt me again, I will come to your house. But yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, and thank you, Zandy Blimp, for your iTunes review. A really good idea for a podcast presented by two funny and engaging hosts. Love the Richard III episode. Thanks. Thank you. We loved it too. So do get in touch. You can leave us reviews or tweet us or Instagram us or anything you like, really. We're around, aren't we, Will?
Yeah, come to my house. I'm there all the time.
And there'll be another episode out next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.